this morning. Because we're following along with the Bible Engagement Project, we're going to have Christmas in the middle of April. So we're in Matthew chapter 1 this morning as we turn there. Conundrums. Problems with several possible solutions, none of which appear to be perfect, each having its own pluses and minuses. Examples include which school to attend after high school, which career to pursue, which person to date and or marry, which car to buy. There are choices, and you've got to make one. You make the best decision you can with the information you have at the moment. Some of those decisions turn out great. Others are a little bit more like that decision to buy that Yugo back in the 1980s. Making the right choice doesn't necessarily mean that the road ahead is going to be smooth or everything's going to come easy. In fact, often the right thing is the hardest thing to do. But you have to make a choice. And all of it's complicated because it's impossible to know what would have happened if you'd have chosen the other branch of the highway. Well, I could have. And regrets come in when we begin to muse that I should have taken that job rather than, I should have married that one rather than this one. And you can just mess yourself up so bad with regret. Then there are some people who just can't make a decision. They become frozen because there's the possibilities of what might. Do you know anybody like that? They just can't make a decision. You suggest, you know, they say they want your advice. If you say left, they say right. If you say right, they say left. If you mention something, they'll tell you everything that could go wrong with doing it this way, everything that could go wrong doing it that way. Then on the other end of the spectrum, it's just as bad when you have people who are fearful of missing an opportunity, and so without thinking about things clearly, they jump at everything. I better buy that car before it gets sold to somebody else. Well, if I don't marry this one, maybe nobody else is going to be interested. And so they just always sway. So somewhere in there between not being able to make a decision and reacting too quickly, how many have made mistakes in both arenas? Yeah, I think we call that life. And trying not to live in regret and trying to make the best choice is moving forward, conundrums. And we have to follow through. So I got some good news for you today. We don't have to do life alone. Today's faith fact is God gave me Jesus. One of the reasons he came was so he could always be with us. We don't just visit him on Sunday mornings. We don't just call somebody and say, hey, have you talked to Jesus lately? He's right here with us all the time. And this morning we're going to study a fellow who was in a conundrum. He didn't know which way to go with the problem that he was faced. But God gave him Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Lord, thanks for being with us. I wish we were easier for you to live with. I wish we were less frustrating, both to ourselves and to you. We are what we are. Thank you for being who you are. And we pray that in this service, you'll help us to knock off some of the rust, clear out some of the accumulation of the world in us, and help us to leave this place this morning feeling like we can breathe deep the breath of heaven, that there's nothing between you and us that would be interfering, that we've laid it all on the altar, and we're totally given over to you. And we'll thank you for that help here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Nice Jewish boy meets nice Jewish girl. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Joseph pushing a baby carriage. It's all going according to plan. The wedding date is set. Joseph's getting a house ready. I can imagine relatives coming over to help Joseph remodel and get things just right. I can imagine the ladies rallying around Mary and they're planning the reception. I'll bring my rigatoni and I'll make sure that the cake is right. And they're all giggling, you know, getting everything just in line, and it's going to work out great. There's love, there's dreams. They're going to have a little carpenter shop out in the backyard where Joseph's going to work. And before long, there's going to be a lot of little carpenters and mini Marys running all over the property. And then they'll get a few animals to round out their little farmette. Oh, we'll start with some chickens, and maybe we'll get a goat or two. Have a couple of sheep. Maybe we'll even get ourselves a cow. Well, make sure we got a donkey. That should come in handy. And Joseph will be in his shop making tools and furniture, and maybe he'll go off to work on a house from time to time. Mary will be doing the gardening, taking care of the animals, raising the kids. Oh, it's just going to be glorious. Now, I know that our parents have had their things and there's stuff about them that we're going to do this better than our parents did. We're going to get along better, and we're going to have everything straightened out. This is going to be the perfect relationship and family. How many remember those idealistic days when it was just, I remember standing at the altar and them saying, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And I remember thinking, we don't need those. We don't, because man, it's good. We're healthy, we're good. Know what we're doing? Yeah. Well, all's going according to plan. And then Mary shows up pregnant. And everything kind of grinds to a halt. The ladies who had been helping arrange everything, they just kind of fade away and disappear. The guys quit showing up to help remodel. And Joseph himself, he couldn't lift a hammer if he tried. He's in that sad funk where he has no idea how in the world this has happened, doesn't know what he's going to do next. He's torn. You read in that text there, because he was faithful to the law, and at the same time, he had a tender heart toward Mary. And then he's hearing from Mary something that's pretty hard to believe, and the scuttlebutt around town is all about, hey, had you heard that she's expecting? Hey, they're not married yet, are they? No, and we thought she was such a good girl. And now this has happened. And everybody is soon going to notice. I remember reading a little clip out of the Reader's Digest some years ago. There was a little fella, and he just always loved to suck on his thumb. And no matter what his mom did, she couldn't get him to stop sucking on his thumb. So she stretched it a little bit, and she said, you know, if you keep sucking on your thumb, your belly's going to swell up like a watermelon. Ooh. So one day, they went to the park, and this little boy sits down next to a pregnant woman on the bench. And he looks her over head to toe, and he says to her, I know what you've been doing. Well, it's not going to be very long till they're looking at Mary and saying, we know what you've been doing, and it's not socially acceptable for that to go. And no, Mary would say, you don't understand. It was great. An angel came to visit. And this is of God. God is, oh, Mary, don't go there. Come on now. We've heard some, but when you start using God's name, you can expect nothing but wrath. You know, the best thing is just to be honest about it. And I am trying to be honest. Really, I am. It's pretty obvious that Joseph really doesn't believe her. He's wrestling with what is he going to do about all of this. And that's really what it means when it says after he had considered this. In the original, it really reflects that after really wrestling with this, what he was going to do. This has happened over several days. How many really like God's timing in everything? Well, wouldn't it be nice if before he wrestled with it for several days, the angel came and said, hey, Joe, little heads up here. Mary's going to come by and tell you this. It's all good. No. After he had considered this, after he's gone down through all of the checklist of the possibilities, maybe he even considered marrying her and raising somebody else's child because he loves her. And if only Mary would come clean with the truth and then they could work through this together, maybe that's a possibility here. And after he's wrestled and gone back, and you ever been through one of those seasons in life where there's something bothering you? And you've given it over to God and it's lighter now, but then it's back. And then you're past it, and then you're, it's back again, and you're kind of, and finally it's resolved. And I wonder if Joseph wasn't tempted to ask the angel, where you been, pal? Where you been? I've been praying. I've been going through this. You know, the wrestling process is part of God's plan. That's what strengthens us and brings us to better places and helps us the next time we're going through something like that. That we can have faith while we're going through it. Not have faith, have doubt, have faith. But have faith while it's difficult, seeing our way through the fog. Well, finally, an angel comes to alleviate his fears and say, no, this really is of God, Joe. Go ahead and marry the girl, and it's all going to be good. This is it. Don't worry about what everybody else is thinking. Don't worry about what everybody else is saying. That's not what it's about. What it's about is, are you willing to follow God and do as he's directing you to do right now? That's really a challenge to all of us. Am I willing to lay it down and follow after what I believe God has for me? One of the things I think he was probably considering was, how does this look to the family at large? Okay, Lord, I want to be right with you, but I also want to be right with the family. They're godly people, but you know how it looks. And maybe especially from a godly perspective. People of the world, they wouldn't have batted an eye at it. But godly people would have been disappointed in a godly young lady who was pregnant before her time. And yet she was doing a godly thing. So you see the disconnect there? Lord, you've chosen us to do this. And we're doing it correctly, but nobody thinks that we are. That's hard, isn't it? We all say, well, I don't care what anybody else thinks. But you know what? We care what other people think. We care what other people say. It's important how people that we love perceive us. And we want to make sure that those relationships are okay, but God is calling them out from their significant relationships to walk a path with him alone. It'll all work out great in the end, but for a while, you kind of got to be out there. And that's hard. That's hard. But he'll be with us when we walk out onto that plank. So, Did you notice how the angel addressed him? Angel said, Joseph, son of David. What's with that? Were there like four Josephs in the room and he had to articulate which one he was talking to? He's the only one there. Joseph. Think back in your biblical Sunday school lessons there. When God called Moses, he said, Moses. He didn't say, Moses, son of Amram, or even son of Levi, you know, or Jacob. When he called Samuel, he just said, Samuel, Samuel. He didn't say, Samuel, son of Elkanah, or son of Levi, you know, your priestly line. Just Samuel. Joseph would have sufficed here, too. Why is he throwing in the son of David? Joseph was from the tribe of Judah. His tribe had been promised the king, the Messiah, is coming from your line. So what the angel is saying is, Joseph, I know this looks like the furthest thing from what you're expecting, but this is God. God is doing something in such a way that it doesn't make sense to you. The fact that Joseph was a descendant of David matters here because, you know, we're going to read a lot about Jesus, son of David. And this figures into the equation, and the angel is really revealing to Joseph, this is the way it's supposed to be, this is the way it has to be, even though it looks like it's the wrong way. Oh, the strange ways of God. Have you ever prayed for something, and the next thing you know, things are going opposite of what you were expecting? And you think to yourself, isn't God listening to me? Did I pray wrong? Did I do something wrong that I'm being punished rather than receiving the blessing? God knows what he's doing. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and power. He was baptized in water. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. What's the next thing we read? The Spirit led him out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. You would think that he just anointed of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I'm thinking, let's go to a buffet or something. You know, this is a good thing. And he'll be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go heal some people or something. Well, that did happen, but it was after the desert experience. When God is up to something good, it often feels awful hard to us. In fact, if we were smart enough, we would get excited whenever there's trouble. We would get excited whenever there's a disturbance in the force. Because God is up to something bigger than what we think this is the prize. Oh, no. It's bigger than that. How many think we could trust God like that? That he's up to that challenge? And Joseph, it's okay. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. Together. Joseph, son of David. Joe, how would David have handled this? Would he have fallen to pieces? And no, we're talking David. David and Goliath kind of stuff. And we face our giants. God sees. When you hear a name, it associates. Your ears perk up if you recognize the name. And you start to compare. LeBron James' son plays basketball for, I think it's a pretty small college, but they show him on ESPN every once in a while because his last name is James and his dad is LeBron James. You're expecting a little bit more out of LeBron James than you are LeBron Everhart, you know, especially dunking a basketball. Hunter Biden, you're the son of a president. Therefore, you act with a little bit more dignity and all because there's something more. Well, okay, maybe that's a bad example, but you get what I'm saying. You hear a name and it's Joseph, son of David. He's calling something up out of Joseph to face this now because there's more than the way you feel in this. One of the songs we sang, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. How many sometimes don't feel like you're, you know, rip-roaring inside and ready to conquer the world, greater is he that's in us than it? But it's the truth. And God has to call that out of us every once in a while and say, I know it's dark and I know it's chilly and all that stuff, but be a man, be a woman of God, because I am with you in this. And he's asking us to step up trial after trial, a little bit stronger, a little bit fuller than before. And this is a big ask for Joseph. Buddy, you're a carpenter, but man, you're going to do a lot more than fix rocking chairs and tables. This is huge, but you're up to it because Joseph, son of David, and the blood of God runs through your veins. You're more than human because the Lord is in this thing. So God puts people that he loves and that he has called in the crosshairs of society's frown, of their disdain. You say, well, gee, I was kind of thinking, you know, God would bless us when we're obedient to him and it would be a good time. He is both blessing and it is a good time. It's just that you have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death every once in a while to get over to the mountain where there's still waters and green pastures and all the rest. They were at the center of God's pleasure and plan, even though it sure didn't look like it. So not only is Joseph to marry Mary, did you notice he's given the duty of naming the child? Joseph, you give him the name Jesus. I'm not naming the boy, not my baby. No, he is your baby. Jesus was Joseph's son, not by seed, but by call. And even though he is God's son, he's your son too. And you're going to do this together. How would it feel to be raising God's son? And yet, in some sense, we all are raising his sons and daughters. But this is just such a special case. And then there's the name that he's to give him. You call him Jesus. Jesus from the Old Testament, Joshua, which means the Lord saves. This is who he is. This is what he does. His name is Jesus. And Joseph, I want you to take him in your arms. I want you to hold him close. I want you to discipline him if that's ever required for anything. I want you to teach him how to get up early and go into the shop and work the job and get those calluses and figure things out and love him. Love him like nobody else. Because he's here to save us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Joseph, get up and fulfill the role that God has called you to today. This is the word of God. Romans tells us, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe it and say it, you will be saved. There's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How do I get that gift? Go back to the beginning again. For God so loved the world, he gave us all. Whoever believes in him, not perish, but have everlasting life. So yes, Joseph, marry that girl. Embrace that child. Do what you were born to do. No matter what it looks like to anybody else, you've got a call on your life. But they might think this, and they might, oh, they will. But you set your compass and you go at the will of God. God gave me Jesus. Joseph could say that, right? God gave me Jesus. Have you said that yet? It's one thing to say that Jesus came to save the world. He died for the sin of the world. It's great that God gave him to us. But if you come to the place where you've crossed that threshold where you are saying, God gave me Jesus. We sang in a chorus this morning, now I am his and he is mine. He is mine and I am his. One of the other ways we sang it. Do you feel that right in here? Do you know that? It grieves me when I hear people in the church say things like, well, I hope I'm good enough. I hope I've done enough. I hope the Lord finds me worthy on that day. It's not about us. It's about what he has done. In my hands no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I'm going to go to heaven someday, not because I've been such a good sheep, but because he's such a good shepherd. Think about it. What could you possibly have done that's good enough to enter into the presence of God forever? What could you possibly have done? How sparkling would you have had to have been? It's not possible. Quit trusting in trying to be good enough. Yeah, you keep trying to be good, that's a good, but don't trust in that. Our salvation is based in what Jesus did for us, not what we do for Christ. Somewhere, if never before today, settle it. Say those words. I know it's humbling. I know it feels like, who am I to say I'm God's child? But he paid the price so that you could be. And he loves it when you come running into his arms and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, thank you so much. I don't know why you've done it for a person like me, but I read in your word, and it's signed with your blood, that you died for me on Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. I receive. I won't let it go. I'm going to hold on to it. You know, a lot of people, they feel saved. They don't feel saved. You know, they're full of faith. They're full of doubt. And they're just back and forth. Stop it. Sink your teeth in. You ever have a little dog that you played sock with them and they grabbed a hold of the end of the sock and you twirled them around and you took them up over there and they're still, and you're whoosh, whoosh, and you're back and they're not going to let go. That's who you need to be with your salvation from this moment on. The devil comes and says, you're not a very good Christian. I don't know how in the world you're going to get to heaven. Well, let me tell you how. His name is Jesus. And if you've got any objection, then you take it up with him. Because I'm covered in the blood. I'm seen as righteous before the Father because of what Jesus did for me. God gave me Jesus. Can we say that together? God gave me Jesus. One more time. God gave me Jesus. Hallelujah. Let it sink in. Let it become the core value in your life. He is God with me, not just God with us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. When I pray, he hears me every time. Whether I see the result I want to, when I want to or not, he hears me when I cry, when I plead. And heaven and earth is moved whenever he needs to take care of his own. Would you stand with me this morning? He walks on the water. He speaks to the sea. He stands in the fire beside me.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for us. Jesus. voice that calms the storm that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He rose.
I just had an inspired thought while we were singing there. What if we were to look at others and call out the Jesus in them? What I mean is, maybe the first thing you think about is whatever annoys you about one person or the other. What if we were able to look at it and say, you know what? I see Jesus in you. It may not be their natural bend, but I love this about you, and I know that's Jesus in you coming out and being expressed. I think that would be so encouraging to the person that we're talking to, and I think it would help us as well to be a seed planter, to be an encourager, to help others step up, all of us step up. Don't you think we ought to talk Jesus a little bit more than we do? I mean, even among ourselves. Just encourage that out of you. You know, I've been noticing, ever since I've known you, I've seen growth, and I really appreciate this about you. I can see that one of your gifts is this or that. I'm going to kind of deputize you. Raise your right hand, repeat it. No. But, you'll probably forget I said this, but if you remember it, remember you're deputized, and when you're talking to somebody, just, husbands and wives. You know, a lot of times we don't talk Jesus between husbands and wives. We can talk electric bills and new shoes and whatever. But just to, you know what? I haven't said this to you, but I've been admiring. I've seen growth along this line, and I just wanted to let you know I notice it and I appreciate it about what's going on. I think it could be great. And our children especially, too, We're quick to discipline them and tell them what they're doing wrong, but maybe it would be good also to, this is good too. Just a thought. Father, love you. Love you so much. When we think about Christmas in April and the gift that you gave, it's awesome. The gift that you're giving, I want to live in that gift more than I do. I get caught up. I get distracted. I get concerned. I worry. I whatever. I would love, Lord Jesus, to be one of those people. Yesterday we had our men's breakfast, and my old friend Dave Mickley was sitting beside me. He came over for the... And I couldn't believe how good I felt sitting beside Dave again. I didn't realize how much I missed him until he was there. But I was amazed at how good it made. I felt safer. I felt stronger because my friend was there with me. I got a lot of friends here and all of that, but I want to be that kind of a friend, Lord. I want to be a breath of Jesus in the room. And so, Lord, help us to do that, to lay down all of our cares and struggles and all of that, and just find you in the middle of it all and love each other with skill so that we can do things in Jesus' name. They'll know we are your disciples by our love. And especially, Lord, I want you to feel like I love you, that I'm thinking about you, that I'm trying. I don't always get it right, but I'm trying. Thanks for the reminders along the way. And what I don't know if my friends feel like I do, but I feel like this has been a special service, a special day in your house. And I pray that there'll be a glow upon us as we walk out of this place and go forward. In Jesus' name we pray.